Good morning. It is 7:50. It's April 6th. This is KCAW News. I'm Lily Herwald. Herring seiners are not the only fishermen commuting long distance to Sitka this spring. A half-ton Steller sea lion has been seen in and out of Sitka's harbors over the last few days, browsing on the abundant herring. The animal, which has an innovative cell phone tracking device, was tagged just over a month ago at the Bonneville Dam near Portland, Oregon, about 900 miles to the south. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The sea lion is an adult breeding bull, probably between 9 and 13 years old, and well over 1,000 pounds. And while he's fully capable of making this trip, the more important question is how and why.
For one to move 900 miles like this, it's not unheard of.
Michael Rayberg leads the Steller Sea Lion Research Program with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Anchorage. Stellars are not migratory animals, but that doesn't mean they don't get around.
Sea lions are built for swimming. They have a beautiful fusiform shape that reduces drag, and a lot of the features of their bodies and the depth at which they'll swim under the water is a really efficient place to be. So, in fact, sea lions can, even when they're very young, they can go quite long distances.
Rayberg says ADF&G has tracked sea lions in Southeast as young as 6 months old, making trips of 70 miles without stopping, and has recorded one trip of 1,000 miles by a 10-month-old. The animal was at sea for 3 weeks. This sea lion was tagged by biologists with the Washington and Oregon Departments of Fish and Wildlife at the Bonneville Dam, about 20 miles upriver of Portland, Oregon, on February 28th. It was feeding on sturgeon with a group of smaller California sea lions. The technology in the tag is innovative. The sea lion is basically wearing a cell phone on its head. It's clear acrylic plastic with an antenna sticking out in front, and it continuously records the sea lion's position using GPS, or the Global Positioning System, data.
And when the tag comes in range of cell towers, it'll make a phone call and download as much data as it's got up to the people who are tracking it.
Rayberg says this type of tag is really effective along the more densely populated coasts of Washington and Oregon. In Alaska, not so much. Researchers lost track of the sea lion somewhere north of Vancouver Island.
Until he called in from Sitka, and actually someone saw it while they were out on the water.
That person notified local marine mammal biologist Jan Straley, who in turn notified ADF&G. Rayberg says it's no accident that the sea lion is in Sitka. The sound is wall-to-wall herring right now, and he literally made a beeline here the moment biologists on the Columbia River released him. Rayberg believes these older, larger animals can develop a specialized foraging strategy that puts them where the best food is at the best times. A biologist in Rayberg's office has just returned from a trip to Dry Bay near Yakutat, where 2,000 to 3,000 sea lions have converged on a large but brief eulachian run there. She identified the tags of animals born in Washington, Oregon, and Kodiak.
Well, they're animals, and they can move, and they know where the good food is. The main question for this guy from Oregon is we don't know where he was born yet. So what we really don't know is if this was an Alaska breeding male who went down to Oregon for an easy meal, or if this is an Oregon male who's coming up to Alaska looking for love in the breeding season this summer.
And if this latter is the case, will being one of the few sea lions with a cell phone on his head be an advantage? That's probably better left to the sea lionesses than science. In the meantime, Rayberg thinks this sea lion's trip does shed more light on population dynamics. Alaska has two genetically distinct populations of sea lions, eastern and western. In northern Southeast, two relatively new rookeries have started, with an apparent blend of the two populations. Rayberg says there's an advantage to being mobile. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
You can see a photo of this tagged Steller sea lion at our website, kcaw.org. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is working on a study of elk on Edelin and Zarembo Islands near Wrangell. In 1987, elk were introduced to the area, and it was thought that they could affect plant and deer life. Since their release, little management or monitoring has been conducted. Department biologist Rich Lowell says he's working to gather more information to see if they're at a manageable and sustainable population. KSTK's Charlotte Duran has the details.
you know, to a large extent, it's all been new information for us.
That's Rich Lowell, who works as a wildlife biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. For the past 2 years, he's been collecting data on elk herds on Edelin and Zarembo Islands. Lowell says he's working to collar a total of 12 elk so he can begin studying their populations.
Well, of course, you've got to get your hands on them first, so we're doing helicopter darting with an immobilization drug, and then once we get the animal on the ground, we position it in a safe position, and then the collar is actually bolted onto the elk, but there's a release mechanism in between which has a timer and then separates that collar after 24 months.
So far, Lowell has collared 6 elk and says from that he's been able to gather some critical information.
You know, we're starting to refine what their seasonal movement patterns are, where the delineating summer range and delineating important elk winter range. So for that purpose, you know, for management purposes, it's, you know, we once believed that we had 2 herds. We now know that we only have 1. We don't have as many elk there as we thought we did. And consequently, we've had Zarembo Island closed to elk hunting until that herd increases in size.
The GPS collars help Lowell and researchers study the herd's seasonal movement, their sex and age, as well as the survival rate of the collared elk. At this time, he estimates there are a little more than 200 elk on the 2 islands. He says he expects to have all 12 elk collared on South Edelin Island by the end of this year. Once the 2 years of tracking are done, the U.S. Forest Service will begin the next phase of the study. Bob Dalrymple is Wrangell's district ranger.
We just don't know the impacts. And I think it's that uncertainty of having an exotic species in a wilderness area kind of heightens the need to sort of follow up on that and get a better understanding of it.
He says once the data is collected from the collared elk, the U.S. Forest Service will better understand their environmental impacts.
A primary purpose of wilderness management is scientific study of the components of that wilderness. And on Edelin Island, we do have the South Edelin Wilderness Area, and that's a known area of elk concentration.
The U.S. Forest Service will start a companion project in 2014. The study will focus on the elk's impact on vegetation as well as on the native deer populations. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Charlotte Duren.
Governor Sean Parnell is asking Alaska Native leaders to lobby the legislature in support of his education initiatives. He addressed officials of the Tlingit Haida Central Council, Sea Alaska Corporation, Alaska Native Harbor Seal Commission, and other groups at Wednesday's Native Issues Forum in Juneau. Parnell asked for support of his merit-based performance scholarship program, which began last year. He said he's willing to include a needs-based component, but he opposes using the program for students who pass the high school equivalency exam, earning what's called a GED. He said that would create a double standard.
You have one class of kids that were counting on it and were earning it, and another class of young people who don't have to go through the same rigor and yet are being given the scholarship, and that's not something I support. I think there are other ways to address that, but certainly not to incentivize getting a GED rather than getting a high school diploma.
Parnell also asked for support of his kindergarten through high school school funding plan. That would give Alaska school districts a one-time payment to help cover inflation. He criticized Senate plans for a several-year increase. The governor was asked if his administration would enforce tribal child support orders. A judge recently told the state to turn over about $50,000 garnished from permanent fund dividends to the Tlingit Haida Central Council. The money went to custodial parents. Parnell said his administration will work with tribes, but his support was qualified.
You should expect that we will continue to work on a daily basis as we do with the tribe on these matters to the best of our ability, and we will also work through and abide by lawfully obtained orders.
The governor was also asked to push for more support of subsistence rights. He said his administration would manage fisheries for long-term sustainable harvests, but it would not match federal standards, which place a higher priority on subsistence.
What I can pledge to you is that we will listen, we will treat the cultures with respect to subsistence, and we will work with the federal government so much as it's within our power to do so from a lawful and legal perspective, from what we're sworn to uphold.